feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is the Rita Cosby Show.
I know your name is Rita, 'cause your perfume's smelling sweet. Since when I saw you down on the floor.
Well, it is downright heartbreaking, and it's also shameful when we hear more of the details about this career criminal who took the life of a young NYPD officer. There's a headline in the New York Post, and it says, "Rest in peace, Officer Jonathan Diller, and wake up, New York progressives." That, I think, says it all, because the progressive system in New York, I believe, has created this crisis, because it's over and over again that we are hearing people say, oh, we have to take them off the streets. Well, get them off the streets. These are career criminals. Obviously, recidivism's a problem. Obviously. So what are you going to do? And we heard from New York City Mayor Eric Adams, who was very passionate and vocalizing today after the death of this incredible officer. And yet, what are the responses? Not just outrage. What are the actions that will change this so it doesn't happen again? It's pretty easy. We need to put pressure on judges to make sure that the punishment fits the crime. We need to make sure with prosecutors that they don't reduce the crimes, that when they present them, that they're the crimes as hardcore as they could be. We need to make sure that there's accountability so it doesn't happen again. It's pretty straight ahead, but it's not happening in many blue cities like New York. And just a little bit ago, we heard from Mayor Eric Adams saying what he thinks is part of the problem. Take a listen.
This is what you call not a crime problem, a recidivist problem. Same bad people doing bad things to good people.
And that's a great point. But what are you going to do, Mr. Mayor? Yeah, obviously it's recidivism. There is a belief that it's about 3,000 people in New York, in a city of many millions upon millions, that are actually committing these crimes over and over again. So what are you going to do? It's great to sit there and say they're repeat offenders. We know it, and we certainly know it in this case, but what are you going to do? Here's a little more from Mayor Eric Adams.
We have a real recidivist problem. Now, these two individuals, one of the men had been arrested on a gun charge in April 2023, the driver. He has more than 20 priors. The other has an equal amount of priors. Recidivism is a real issue.
We know that. But what are you going to do? It's great to say it. So speak out and fix the system. Put some pressure on the left of the left, New York City Council, and also the left of the left, New York State Legislature. I mean, when are people going to say enough is enough? In the case of Officer Jonathan Diller, we're finding out here on the Rita Cosby Show. First of all, he was a husband. He was a father of a one-year-old baby boy. And the guy who took his life, this animal, this thug, this guy had 21 prior arrests, including for assaults and other things. The driver, by the way, of the car who was with him, had his own share of arrests. He was arrested 14 times. Both of them served time in prison and got out early, time and time again. The latest time that we know of that the shooter who killed the officer, because it was just a routine traffic stop, the officer goes over to the window, tries to get the guy out of the car. The guy doesn't want to get out, and then he opens fire and shoots him underneath his bulletproof vest. The accused shooter apparently served a stint in prison starting in 2011 on first-degree assault before he was released early, 2014. Then he went in again for 5 years behind bars, released early, controlled substance, got out. And again, 20 prior arrests just that we know of. And we know now tonight, there's a wild story that this guy was so dangerous that apparently when they took him to the hospital, because the other officer, the officer's partner, the officer who was killed, his partner was able to shoot the guy in the back. So the guy was taken to the hospital. And when they took him to the hospital, they did an X-ray and they found that he had a stashed shiv in his rectum, in his backside, that he was apparently carrying that in case he was going to get into a fight that night, or in case he thought maybe he might get busted by a cop, or maybe he wanted to do it for protection. But I thought that was really interesting that this guy was ready for violence. There's no question. And had a loaded gun that he thought nothing about in terms of pointing at a young police officer. And that cop had only been on the job a few years, highly regarded, highly commended, and apparently somebody who was beloved in the department. And this guy was clearly ready for bear. Apparently, according to surveillance video, they say that he and the driver were casing out a commercial strip. There's a T-Mobile store and some other stores in the area. So maybe they were waiting for somebody and he was going to pull out that shiv, or maybe they were planning to do some sort of robbery or something at one of the stores there. And then these two officers came upon them, said, "Hey, you're parked illegally." They're quality of life cops, per se, is sort of the title, you know, or the description, if you will, of what they do. They noticed that this car was illegally parked in a bus stop and they went over to him. And the next thing they know, this guy opened fire. Why is this guy out? Why are people like this constantly let go over and over and over again? And it came the same day as there was a fatal New York City subway shove where a deranged career criminal, again, a guy with a history of mental illness and many past arrests, that he just randomly pushed somebody into the subway. And now witnesses say that, quote, it was perfectly timed. And when he saw the subway, just took advantage of the moment. He timed it perfectly, according to a witness. And he pushed the person with all his might. This is this crazy guy with a history of mental illness. He was arrested, luckily, at the station. But what is he doing out? And apparently, after he got arrested, he was sort of smiling with the cops and laughing and just thought there was something really, really funny about the whole ordeal. This is disgusting to me. And here is Mayor Eric Adams talking about severe mental illness, which, yeah, is a problem. But what are you going to do, Mr. Mayor?
And the second issue that we have in this city is a severe mental health illness problem that was played out on 125th Street and Lexington Avenue at the subway station. And he was a recidivist. Several mental health, severe mental health issues, indicators of violence. And when you do an analysis and a cross correlation, you will see it's the same people over and over again. We showed you with 38 people arrested with over 1,100 incidents in the subway system, 38 people arrested for assaulting transit authority employees.
Yeah. And in this case, by the way, you can put all the transit employees you want, but sadly, that's not the solution. Because in this case, apparently, there were six NYPD cops at the station where this crazy guy pushed a complete stranger into an oncoming subway car. Can you imagine? There were six cops there, but obviously it happened so quickly. The guy was apparently pulling up his pants, according to a witness, as if he was about to go into a fight. And then suddenly he knocked the stranger onto the tracks with no apparent warning. The victim was hit by the oncoming train in a matter of seconds. So it's not like the officers can watch every single individual and it kind of came out of nowhere. That is really frightening. Really, really frightening. And here's the mayor talking about repeat offenders, mental illness, and all that stuff, which we all know about. But what are you going to do, Mr. Mayor?
And so when you combine the recidivism with severe mental health illness, 50% of the people at Rikers Island are dealing with mental health issues, and 18% are severe. And then you add the random acts of violence to that. All of them played out last night. Pushing someone on the subway track, random act of violence, a recidivist shooting an innocent person, a person with severe mental health illness. You do an analysis of all of these reporting that you're doing, and you're going to keep coming up with the same three items. Severe mental health, random act of violence, recidivism, over and over again.
We know that, but again, what are you going to do? So here is what Rudy Giuliani, the former New York mayor, I think one of the greatest mayors ever of New York, this is what he told us earlier today was what he would do.
We abandoned at some point along the way the criminal career program that Bratton and I put into effect about 3 months after I was in office. And that eventually led to three strikes and you're out in the federal law, but it was 2 years before it. And basically, it comes from Professor James Q. Wilson, who wrote a great article and then a book on career criminals. Same people committing the same crimes. If you just keep them in jail, you cut crime dramatically.
Yeah, you just keep them in. Doesn't it make sense? Especially when you know who essentially the 3,000 or so recidivists are. And if somebody's got mental illness, obviously you want to get them help. You want to do what you can. But there are some people that are just too dangerous that you just got to take off the streets. And at a certain point, whether they want to be or not, maybe they need to be voluntarily put behind bars or at least put in a mental institution where they can get help but not get out on the streets. Let's go to Jacqueline, line one. Jacqueline, your thoughts about all this.
Rita, you know, it's amazing that you opened up with Mayor Giuliani, probably the best mayor for the city of New York.
I agree.
A double A++, and I'm sorry to say, Eric Adams, in my opinion, is simply paying lip service. He's talking the talk, but he's not walking the walk. He gets a double F-. And you already pointed out two of the destructive policies under the current administration of both Adams and Hochul. And actually, the blame begins with the majority of the city council, which has to be completely eliminated. The other destructive policies that also led to police officer Diller's murder, the preventable murder, I might add.
I agree.
Not only setting them free judges, you got to get rid of the set them free judges, and the dismissive DAs, they have to end, they put an end to the stop, question, and frisk, no cash bail, eliminating beds for the emotionally disturbed, and no consequences for fare evaders. Maybe if they would put those policies back into place, Officer Diller would be alive today with dozens of other law enforcement officers and civilians, like the tragic preventable incident at the 125th Street station. And I have one more thing to add. To those who say that we need to get rid of the guns, correction. We need to keep the guns out of the hands of the criminals. And I've got news for them. The only way to do that is to give the criminals maximum prison terms with no early release and put the emotionally disturbed in appropriate facilities. Take the handcuffs off the police. Give them back the ability to do their job effectively to the policies that worked, making the city safe for all civilians and for law enforcement. Period. End of story.
I agree, Jacqueline, 100%. And in fact, get the bad guys off. How many chances do they need? This one guy got 21 breaks that we know of. There may have been more. I think that's just by the NYPD, by the way. So there may be even more than that, I would assume, if he's been out of state. We don't know. But still, you look at, he's clearly a violent repeat offender. And yeah, there is a hamstring because, you know, Eric Adams can only do certain things. The city council does others. I would like to see him a lot more vocal. I know it's tough, but guess what? The city's at stake and safety's at stake. I would also like to see other officials a lot more vocal against the New York City legislature and these judges. Who are these judges that think it's okay when somebody has X amount of prior offenses that they let them out early? Who are on these parole boards? I mean, there are so many problems here, and people just need to wake up, and people need to start being held accountable and named and saying, hey, listen, okay, these people are not letting people serve full terms. People are not afraid to be behind bars. They're not afraid because they think they're just going to get out anyway, and it's worth the chance, you know, to go ahead and do it. And that's a really scary place to be. We need to put the fear of God that criminals fear going to jail, and they don't have it now, and that needs to change. 1-800-848-9222, and we'll continue your calls, everybody.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
This is The Rita Cosby Show.
And another great member of the law enforcement has been taken way too soon. Think about how difficult it is to be a police officer. And then you see the headlines like the latest one about the young officer, Jonathan Diller, who is doing what he thought was a routine traffic stop. And turns out he was murdered by a career criminal who clearly should have been behind bars. Let's go to Alice in Ohio. Alice, your reaction.
I think it's disgusting. Your mayor has a talent for commenting on the obvious and repetition. As far as I know, New York does not have capital punishment.
Right. Unfortunately, and right. And you know what, right, Alice? I feel like if you kill a cop, it should be capital punishment.
Right. But Some crimes are elevated to federal, which does have capital punishment. And I think maybe a laws should be changed. You kill a cop, capital punishment.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Because if you murder somebody who is an officer in uniform, boy, that is the height of brazenness. And you think about what that person would do to an everyday citizen if they have no regard for a law enforcement. It's a frightening place for all of us. We're going to continue after the break.
Rita Cosby is on.
We continue on the Rita Cosby Show as we are talking about repeat offenders. It is a broken record because what is going to change? And when are people going to say enough? When are leaders in blue cities going to say enough? One of the recent cases, as we were talking about, was at this subway station in New York, at the East 125th Street and Lexington Avenue station in New York City. This guy, Carlton McPherson, 24, got off a train, stood on the platform for just a few minutes before suddenly lunging at a victim, somebody he did not know. He was apparently, according to witnesses, scoping out the area, walking back and forth, and then snuck behind a guy and just cocked back and pushed him suddenly with all his might. The guy has a history, this McPherson, who was, thank goodness, arrested, but he's been arrested many times before. And he has a history of mental illness as well. Why was he back out on the streets? He is clearly a violent individual. And that came right around the same time, sadly, as a young police officer lost his life to a career criminal who we are hearing had a hidden skiv, one of those small little knives, makeshift knives, hidden in his body, in his backside. So this was a guy who had a gun, a loaded gun, and had a whole bunch of stuff, clearly a violent offender, and in that case had almost 24 prior arrests. Listen to what Nicole Parker, who is a former FBI agent, has to say, because she is deeply concerned about the threats to police.
You are fighting a battle between good and evil when you are a law enforcement officer or a cop. They have no respect for human life. They couldn't care less. They're not going to make right choices because it's the right thing to do. They don't care. The only thing that's going to stop them is facing consequences. When you act, there is a consequence for your action. If there is no accountability, expect the crime rates to continue. Mm-hmm. Who would want to put their life on the line when these people don't even back law enforcement? You back the blue, yep, no matter what. We need to support our law enforcement.
And today, New York City Mayor Eric Adams said the problem is, quote, the bad guys don't fear police. Well, what's contributed to that? A lot of very progressive policies, like a slap on the wrist. What about all these crazy defund the police comments? All of these things add up. Here's a little more from Nicole Parker.
What is it going to take for people right, like Mayor Adams to wake up? He is a former NYPD officer himself. This is unacceptable. Judges, you need to be giving the most stringent sentences possible. Prosecutors, you've got to be aggressive. You've yes, got to actually charge people. And law enforcement, get in there and make these things happen, because these repeat offenders cannot be on the streets. They cannot be hurting and killing our law enforcement officers anymore.
And things are so bad in New York that there are these reports of just kind of people randomly getting punched in the face by strangers while walking in New York City. And you know, with social media these days, everything goes to social media. Here's a series. It's a group of women who are posting TikTok reports about being randomly punched by a stranger while walking in police, including two daylight attacks, which they say they reported to the police this week. Listen to these social media influencers who say they just got randomly attacked walking in the Big Apple.
I literally just got punched by some man on the sidewalk. He goes, sorry, and then punches me in the head. Holy what the hell just happened? Oh my God.
So I just got punched in the face walking home. I was literally like leaving class. I turned the corner and I was looking down and I was looking at my phone and like texting, and then out of nowhere, this man just came up and hit me in the face. I'm like actually in shock right now. I'm just like walking home, because what else do you do? But I just texted my friends being like, hi, I just got punched in the face. And then they sent me a TikTok of this other girl in New York who got punched in the face, and she was looking at her phone. And I don't know if this is like a thing that's going around, but I guess if you're in New York right now and you're walking while looking at your phone, maybe don't do that. Maybe head on a swivel. I guess we're gonna be super aware of our surroundings.
You guys, I was literally just walking and a man came up and punched me in the face. Oh my God, it hurts so bad. I can't even talk. Literally, I fell to the ground and now this giant goose egg is forming and I'm like, oh my God, it looks so crazy.
That's not a good advertisement for the Big Apple. That is for sure. Random social media people saying they just got punched in the face while walking down the streets in New York. But then we hear from political leaders, everything's fine. It's the safest big city. People don't feel it. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Dave in Pennsylvania. Dave, your thoughts about all this?
All right, Rita, thanks. I mean, it's getting to the point of it's absurd. The headline should read, instead of, you know, a repeat violent criminal, you know, committing a violent act, it should read Democratic Party policy, passive-aggressively murder an innocent young father, NYPD officer, and husband, and start putting out what it is, because it's not even the criminals anymore. It's the policies that are allowing mental disturbances and violent, criminal-minded people who have no respect for life or anybody. And enough of the pandering and all the lip service from these politicians, from Eric Adams. It's always, he's very good at it. He's very passionate to speak up, but there's no action. Yeah, and you brought that up, Rita. You know, it's just enough of the pandering and passive, lip service. Let's see some action. But you know what? There won't be action. You know, that's the sad thing about it. So I think that it's got to be called out. It's the Democratic Party policies that are causing these things. And it's like they're almost like, you know, Eric Adams should be, he's the one who murdered this cop. He's the one who's responsible.
Well, I think if you want to put the blame, I actually think a lot of the city council, the legislature, and by the way, a couple times when he has tried to talk about issues like this, like he was trying to do something, you know, recently that was helpful to the cops, that was so they wouldn't get bogged down with all these police reports and all these other different things. Well, guess what happened? New York City Council overrode him. But I think he needs to keep speaking out. You can't remain silent because you feel sort of slapped down every time. Right, Dave?
Well, yeah, I agree. Can he just take bold action on his own executive authority?
Certain things he can. Certain things he can, but not some of these judicial things he cannot. I mean, a lot of these also have to go through the legislature as well. There's a number of steps. But you can certainly publicly shame them enough. Listen, I'm not mayor, but if I was mayor, I'd be screaming to the rooftops right now, and I'd be calling everybody out and say, here are the policies, here are the people who back these crazy policies, and this needs to change. You know, and I'm going to try to get you fired, or I'm going to try to get you. It's a very bold move. But guess what? You got to fight for the city and you got to fight for the people. And I think that even within city council, there's the quote, common sense caucus. And there's some Democrats in there. I think of, you know, a number of that we've had on the show that are more conservative Democrats, if you will, but they're Democrats. I think that they would love to have somebody speaking out so they can jump on the train too and speak out too. And guess what? Create a movement. Because if you don't create a movement, guess what? Nothing is going to change. So it's a sad situation, Dave. Thank you very, very much. Let's go to Lori in Long Island. Lori, your thoughts.
Hi, Rita. So I am a former prosecutor in Bronx County in New York.
Oh, wow. Okay. So yeah, let's hear your perspective.
So, and we're talking, you know, a bunch of years ago. So it was in the late 1980s, early 1990s. And at that time, we were not permitted to take any plea on any case where a defendant was arrested with a gun without jail time. We just couldn't do it, no matter what. First arrest, a younger person, no record, nothing. We were not allowed to take a plea that did not involve jail time. And I was a prosecutor at the same time as the current DA was a prosecutor, and she was a tough assistant DA. But now, as the DA in a Democrat-driven city, she's become like Alvin Bragg, all because of politics. The other comment that I have is about how judges are elected. When you go to vote in New York and you look at that ballot, the same judge is on every single party.
Right.
So if the only judge that you can vote for is a Democrat, is a liberal, That's all that we're getting on the bench. When did the Republican Party just throw their hands in the air and say, we're not putting forth anybody? How about we start putting forth some Republican conservative attorneys and put them up for election? Support them.
That's a great point. That's offer alternatives, because I agree with you. You go to the voting and you're like, wait a minute, this is the only choice, you know? What do you think Mayor Adams could do? What do you think Mayor Adams and other leaders can do?
You know, you made the great points about the city council, and that's another issue. So with the city council, it's the same thing. You have a ballot of Democrats, liberal Democrats, and that's all that you get to vote for. Like, I still have family living in Bronx County, and they have no one to vote for. No one. Like, there's nobody. Honestly, I feel the same. I live in George Santos district. I have no representation at all. Now, what could Mayor Adams do? Honestly, this is going to sound crude, but he needs to grow a pair and do what he knows is the right thing to do from when he was a cop, because he's probably close to my contemporary. He knows what things were like. He knows when this was more of a city of law and order, when Rudy Giuliani was mayor.
Right. He knows what works. And you know what?
He knows what works.
And yeah, he gets slapped down, as I mentioned. He has gotten slapped down when he's tried to do the right thing. But guess what? Keep fighting. Don't give up.
Yeah, keep fighting. And the other thing, too, is the fare beaters. I have children, adult children, who take the subway every day, who said, we think we're the only ones who are paying the fare.
Yeah, I believe that. Because often, ridiculous. Yeah. And by the way, the whole Bill Bratton, we were just talking with Bill Bratton, the former NYPD commissioner, the other day, and he's the whole broken windows theory, which you know.
Exactly.
Get them early. And also make it obvious early that you're not going to get that many chances. I mean, when you see this whole deal with this cop killer, it's just, I was so angry.
As soon as
I saw it, it's like 21 times for severe, serious crimes. It's not like little petty, like he was stealing candy from a candy store. I mean, the writing's on the wall. They're violent, Lori.
Yes, they are. It's horrible. It's, and I don't know, like what happens to turn this around? You know, I keep saying at this stage in my life, I'm going to become an activist, because people have to start doing something.
Yes,
we have
they
to
do.
Start doing something.
Yes.
It's terrible.
Silence,
terrible.
No silence and quiet is not an option. And this is a time where good people, it doesn't matter what what political party you are. Most important thing is to care about the community, and we must respect, and appreciate our men and women in blue too. I mean, it is just what we've seen in the last, 24, 48 hours is shocking to its core, and we got to change. And I agree with you. Leaders need to grow a set and get out there and speak and say this cannot be tolerated. And people that support these policies should no longer be reelected. I hope those people who elected them think again when they go into the voting booth and have some serious regrets today, because that's shameful. These people, a lot of these people telegraphed what they were going to do. A lot of them said, here's what our policies are going to be. And many of them are living up to their promises. So it wasn't necessarily false advertising. It was people with false hope going into the voting booth. So wake up, because there's a very tragic reality that's happening out there, and voting has consequences. Lori, thank you. You're terrific. You got to call back again. You had some great perspective there. And everybody, now to our Support Our Heroes segment.
The Rita Cosby Show presents Support Our Heroes.
And this is the Tunnel to Towers Foundation Support Our Heroes segment, with a powerful story coming from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where a local VA celebrated an Army veteran on National Medal of Honor Day, which was yesterday. And the veteran's name was Gary George Wetzel. Now, Wetzel, this is amazing. Wow, he was right in the throes of it all. He was a Vietnam War Army veteran. He was born in South Milwaukee, and during the war, he served as a specialist 4th
class. He said he was deep in the midst of battle working as a door gunner aboard a helicopter when two enemy rockets exploded nearby. He lost his left arm and was severely wounded throughout his body. But get this, he was able to return fire, aid his fellow injured crewmates, and help bring everyone to safety. He said, you never think you're going to be in that situation where it's life or death. 50 years later, I am still here. For his courageous efforts, he was awarded a Medal of Honor. By the way, March 25th marked National Medal of Honor Day, which was established by Congress in 1991 as a way to celebrate our heroes who have earned this prestigious award. There are currently only 63 individuals nationwide who have received the Medal of Honor that are still living today. And I've had the honor of having dinner with most of them through the years. And to me, it is an incredible, incredible privilege. By the way, veteran Wetzel was asked, what do you think? Are you a hero? And he said, am I brave? I don't think I can answer that. All I know is my people needed help, and I tried to do the best that I could. I'm so glad to see that he is being honored. And of course, we honor all of our great military men and women. And everybody, America's heroes need your help. Donate just $11 a month to the Great Tunnel to Towers Foundation at T2T.org, T2T.org.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. It's The Rita Cosby Show.
Well, we are talking tonight that it's important for leaders to grow a set. But there are a lot of problems in the system. By the way, the brother of the subway shover, remember the guy who suddenly pushed just an innocent stranger into a subway train and pushed them to their deaths? This happened on Monday night, just about an hour after the officer was killed. Separate locations, obviously. But the family of this guy who had a history of mental illness says that the system let him down because just 2 weeks before this incident happened, apparently he got let out of a mental facility that they let him out because they said that they just couldn't keep him. So they let him go. They released him. They apparently did not think that he was a threat to himself or others, and so they let him out of this mental facility. Obviously, that is a huge mistake. But also, families need to speak up if somebody is indeed violent. You can't let them out on the street. You need to speak up. We don't know. Maybe they did speak up to the facility. Maybe they needed to alert police. Maybe they needed to make sure it goes to another facility. There's obviously a lot of breakdowns here. But we need to start looking because there is clearly a pattern of people with repeat mental illness and repeat criminal records. And I feel sorry for these people. They need help. But there are some people, if they're violent, guess what? They need to be locked up, not just at a mental facility, at a location where they cannot harm someone else again and also can't harm themselves. It is time to really step up. Let's go to Edward, line three. Edward, your thoughts.
Hi, Rita. Thank you for taking my call. The reason why we have all these problems in New York City particularly is because we have one party rule that realizes that they can do anything because they're going to be there forever. It's not going to change. And when you have that kind of dominance, you don't have governance. You have rulership. And that's exactly, they do what they want, constitutionally, unconstitutionally. I'm looking at the process dealing with Trump, and I'm just wondering, where is the due process? And you have people on CNN saying right out, I don't care about the process. When you're at that level, you know we've gone the way of Rome.
Yeah, I agree, by the way. We absolutely need to make sure that we have a two-party system. And also, it doesn't even matter the party. We just need to have common sense, and we need to have people who put the city and our law enforcement and give them priority and give them the respect they deserve.